Friends, our gospel lesson today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with chapter 15, verses 10 through 28. Hear now these words. Then he called to the crowd and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall under their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to thee, O Christ. Well, if you were all physically present with us right now in Cox Chapel, I would ask for a show of hands. But since you aren't, when I ask that question, I want you to raise your hand anyway or admit to someone else that you might be with what I'm going to ask. How many of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Anybody? Well, maybe you said something mean to a sibling, or you said a word that wasn't allowed in your home when you were a child. Well, while I've never had my mouth washed out with soap, the closest thing to it actually came the day when I was playing outside in our yard. I'd taken a spoon from Mom's kitchen, and I was out digging for worms. And she stuck her head out the door, and all she did was say, "Susan, stop digging up the yard, okay?" Well, once I thought she was safely inside, I turned toward the house, and I made a face, and I rolled up my tongue, and I stuck it out at her like this. Well, if I had been a little wiser, I might have remembered that one whole side of our house was plate glass, and Mom, if she had been looking out of it, could have seen all of my ugliness on display. Well, she was, and she did. And soon she came flying out of the house saying, "I'll teach you to stick that nasty tongue out at me, baby." There was no soap involved. And even though my parents didn't believe in spanking, they made an exception to the rule that day. And the rest of the day I spent confined in my room, left to consider my actions. Had my mom quoted scripture to me that day, it probably would have come from today's reading. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. It's what proceeds from the heart. and the mouth that manifest itself in ugly words and hurtful and even evil actions. Lesson number one of two lessons that we get from Jesus today from this reading is not just about the condition of our hearts or the words that come out of our mouths or how we should guard our tongues. It's actually about religious traditions. Jesus, just prior to this passage, has had an altercation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they ask him, "Jesus, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? Why don't they wash their hands before they eat like all the rest of us?" Well, washing the hands before a meal wasn't just about hygiene. It was about ritual cleanliness. For the Jewish community, it had become a ceremonial custom to provide for ritual purification. Just in this case, if one had come in contact with, for instance, food that was unclean, or an animal that was unclean, or perhaps even a corpse, washing your hands would ritually make you clean. But it wasn't a law. Only the priests were required to do that. But wanting to be as obedient as they could be to God, people began taking on this practice as well as priests. And so it became a tradition. But it was one that Jesus reminds the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was a tradition that had begun to take precedent over the heart of the law. Jesus then answers their question, "Why don't you wash your hands?" with a question, "Well, then why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your own traditions?" For instance, he says, "The commandment says, honor your father and mother, and yet you allow people to take money they would have spent on taking care of their elderly parents and give it to you." "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you," Jesus says. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It's not just what comes out of the mouth that makes one holy. It's what comes out of our actions, guided by our hearts. Jesus' words about traditions are music to our Gentile ears. As Christians, we are not bound by the dietary laws of the Old Testament. We can eat shellfish and pulled pork sausages to our heart's content. We don't have to practice circumcision. We don't go through purification rituals, but we are bound by the heart of the law. And the heart of that law is love and mercy, love of God and love of neighbor. God often tells the Israelites, and Jesus often quotes God saying, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." God is essentially saying, "I don't care how many rams you sacrifice to me. I would rather you be kind to people." God could be saying to us, "It's great that you recite the Apostles' Creed and the Gloria Patri, and you pass the peace when you're in church on Sunday morning. But are you living into those words, or are they hollow? Do you pass the peace on Sunday and abuse your spouse on Monday? Are the hungry and the hurting in your midst being fed and cared for?" Matthew's community is in a quandary. They are mostly Jewish, but they have Gentiles in their midst as well. And they're wondering just how much of the traditions of the past do we hang on to as Christians? What new traditions are we able or should we weave into our old faith expressions? What do we need to require of new believers? What do we require of outsiders? And just how far is too far when it comes to including other people in this community of faith? What makes a person fit or unfit for the presence of God? And these aren't just questions for Matthew's community. They're questions that we often ask ourselves as well. By saying it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out, Jesus is opening the door to the mission to the Gentiles in Matthew's gospel. Matthew's community can now move without fear into bringing Gentiles into their midst. And then right on cue, a Gentile woman arrives on the scene. So fresh from his confrontation to the Pharisees, Jesus now goes into another confrontation, this time in the territory of the Gentiles. Jesus heads north out to the borderlands of Israel into Gentile territory, and he is approached not by just a Gentile woman, but as Matthew calls her, a Canaanite woman. Now this place, being a Canaanite woman, would identify her with the Old Testament enemies of Israel. The encounter that Jesus has with this woman is in every way on the borders. It's on the border between the old and new traditions. It's on the border between male and female. It's on the border between friend and enemy. It's on the border between the holy and the demonic. I don't know if you have children, but I wonder if your child has ever been so sick that you were desperate to get them help. You would have taken them to anyone and taken them anywhere and begged anyone for the help that they needed. And this is what happens to this poor woman. Normally, Canaanites and Jews would have never interacted with one another, but this woman is desperate. She runs up to Jesus, begging, yelling, screaming for mercy. And this is where things get shocking. This, I think, is the most controversial passage in the New Testament. It's the most difficult to talk about. And we're shocked. We're shocked first by what Jesus doesn't say, and then we are shocked by what comes out of his mouth. And when the woman asking Jesus to heal her daughter who has a demon, and by demon, probably in those days that probably meant that her daughter had epilepsy or maybe she was mentally ill. When this woman comes up begging Jesus and she addresses him as Lord, Son of David, she recognizes him as the Messiah. She knows his ability to heal and to offer God's healing grace. And so she begs for it. And Jesus is silent. He says nothing. And then his disciples, who have no doubt entered this Gentile territory, looking around both shoulders, wondering if they're safe, not wanting to be around those people, say to him, "Send her away. She keeps shouting at us." Maybe they want Jesus to heal her daughter so that they can get rid of her. And Jesus' answer? "That's not my mission. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Really? And part of us might get that. I mean, every great organization, every great nonprofit has a mission statement that they have to remain focused on if they're going to be successful. And for instance, if someone needing assistance for rent knocks on the door of an addiction treatment center asking for help, or a man who needs food knocks on the door of a women's shelter, while those in charge, their hearts may be pouring out to that person, they would probably be reticent to take funds donated for their mission and give them for something else, no matter how great the cause was. But this is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus' mission was first to the house of Israel. Okay, but this is Jesus. Jesus has already healed the centurion's servant, a Gentile, because of his great faith. Why does he appear to be so callous here? And my friends, it only gets worse. Our 21st century sensibilities can hardly bear what comes next. The woman then kneels before him. She bows down just like the Magi did at his birth, recognizing his divine nature, begging him again, "Lord, help me. Help me." And Jesus' response? "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And we might say, what just came out of Jesus' mouth? Did he just call this woman a dog? That was a common slur, a common racial slur used by the Jews to speak of Gentiles in Jesus' day. It was common. But still, this is Jesus. This is Jesus who has compassion on every need and want that he sees. This is Jesus who heals the sick, who has fed the multitudes in Galilee. Jesus has a mission. First, to the lost sheep of Israel. This woman who recognizes, maybe even more so than Peter, who she's dealing with, though, is undeterred. She too knows, and she isn't disapproving of Jesus' mission. She knows Jesus' mission, but she also knows and understands that she too is a child of God, and she too is worthy of God's mercy, and she too desires God's mercy more than anything. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall under their master's table, she says. And then comes pouring forth from Jesus' mouth the words that we long to hear, the words that she longs to hear. Great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish. And her child is healed. Jesus breaks the tradition of keeping the Gentiles at bay. He breaks through barriers of race and gender and enemies and shows this woman and us the wideness of God's mercy. It is because he has come as the Jewish Messiah to the lost sheep of Israel, fulfilling Jewish scripture, that he can now be her Savior as well. Friends, I don't know why Jesus spoke words that were so shocking to someone who was so desperately in need. Theories abound, multiple theories abound as to why that is. I don't know if Jesus is in a tongue-in-cheek fashion offering a reverse object lesson in it is what comes out of the mouth and that defiles a person. I don't know. I don't know if this was a test of the Canaanite woman's faith and she passes, though it seems like a really harsh test. I don't know if, as some say, that the fully human Jesus, who was shaped by the culture of his day, had something to learn that day from the Canaanite woman. And the lessons, and the lesson that she taught him expanded his mission. I don't know. But what I do believe is that Jesus' words are meant to shock. They're meant to make us face our own ingrained traditions, our ingrained biases and prejudices. They are meant to help us see where those prejudices create stumbling blocks for people from experiencing the mercy and love of God. I think those words are meant to shock us into considering our own hearts and shock us into hopefully opening them more fully to God's love and mercy for all of God's children. I love the Canaanite woman's words of persistence and faith. I love the fact that she keeps knocking on the door to claim God's mercy and grace for herself and her daughter. I love the fact that she inspires us to listen to those in our culture who are also knocking and knocking and knocking on our doors today, wanting their voices to be heard, wanting their personhood to be valued. Jesus' final response to the Canaanite woman, "Great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish," also inspires us. Those words inspire us to open our hearts and mouths to declare the wideness of God's mercy for all of God's children. They inspire us to embrace what God is doing new in the world as we weave new traditions with old. Jesus is always calling us to something new, always calling us to open our eyes and our hearts to those around us, those who are hurting, those voices that are knocking on the doors for God's grace. May we not only be shocked by the words spoken today, may we be receptive to the lessons that Jesus taught and live into the wideness of God's mercy for all we encounter. Amen.